Our text for this evening is the verse number 17 of Revelation chapter 22. Let us just read that verse with you again. It says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." It has been rightly said that the great motto cry of true biblical Christianity is the word come. This word come is often used in the scriptures in connection with the great message of the gospel. And in our text this evening here in Revelation 22 and verse 17, you find this word is come is mentioned no less than three times within this short verse. As the Apostle John writes here and brings this book to a close, he tells us of God's judgment upon those who add to the word of God, or those who take away from the word of God. Look in verse 19, he says, "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." What a word of warning we have there in that verse 19. People, that is what the false cults and the false religions are about today. They are adding to the word of God. And my, they are taking from the word of God. Also, this is what the modern perversions of scriptures are about as well. They add to the word of God. They take from God's precious truth, his holy word. But my, before this warning of God's judgment in verse 19, there is a wonderful word of mercy in verse 17. You see, before God judges sin, God always speaks in mercy. And here in verse 17, our text for this evening, we have God's final call to sinners in all of the Bible to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. That verse says again, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." What an invitation we have here in the very last chapter of the Word of God. You'll look at that verse 17 and you'll notice there that it speaks to us of the water of life. And friends, that speaks to us of God's so great salvation. That wonderful salvation that is found by the faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who suffered and bled and died for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. And this verse here before us tonight, John gives four reasons in particular why every sinner should heed this final call to salvation by faith in Christ. Tonight, friends, we are at the final meeting of this gospel mission. As a congregation, you have been praying much for this mission. You have labored for it week by week and night by night. And my souls have come in under the sound of the word of God. But it is a special time when we have a mission. It is a blessed time. But my, it is also a solemn time when a mission goes from an area. As we've mentioned in the past, oftentimes when a mission comes, and indeed when a mission goes, when that time of mercy departs from that community, then the messenger of death can come and pluck people away from this scene of time. Hence this invitation tonight is a solemn invitation. It's a special invitation. My, it is an invitation that you, my friend, must heed and must consider tonight, if you are still in this meeting, in this final meeting of this gospel mission unsaved. Oh, that you would hearken to this invitation, that you would hearken to this call. And I just want to set before you, very plainly and simply, these four reasons why you should heed this great call, this final call of God to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. First of all, friend, you need to heed this call to come to Christ for salvation, because the Holy Spirit himself invites you to come. Look at the verse again. Notice what it says. It says, "And the Spirit says, come. By the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit in her, what is that work? That work is to invite and to draw sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Why, we can say tonight, yes, God the Father has planned the way of salvation. We can say this evening that God the Son has provided salvation by His death and resurrection from the dead. But it is God the Holy Spirit who draws sinners to Christ for salvation. Yes, by the Word of God, the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit speaks at drawing, wooing sinners to come to Christ and be saved. Might is the work of the Holy Spirit, using the Word of God time after time. Think of that great invitation in Isaiah 1, verse 18. The Lord says, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Friend, that is the Spirit of God speaking through God's Word to you to come to Christ and be saved. Think again of the words of Isaiah 55 and verse 1, where it says, there, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without price, or without price. And friend, tonight on see if God again speaks to your heart through that Word, inviting you, calling you, beckoning upon your heart and soul to close in with God's offer of mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then again, think of those tremendous words of Christ in the Gospel of Matthew, when He says, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you burdened with sin, burdened down with care tonight? My, through the waywardness of sin in your life. My, through those lovely words of Christ, God the Holy Spirit again knocks at your heart's door, calling you, drawing you, beckoning you to come unto Christ for eternal rest for your soul. Oh, dear friend, all during this mission, the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart many times, time after time, through His Word. And by each time He has called you to repent of your sin. Each time He has called you to trust Christ. Each time He has called you to get right with God. And tonight again, God has spared you to this final meeting, and the Holy Spirit calls again. My text says to your heart and to your soul tonight, friend unsaved, it says, the Spirit says, come. Well, what are you going to do with that call tonight? The Holy Spirit knocks at your heart's door. And as the Spirit calls you to come to Christ for salvation. But my, as well as using God's Word, the Holy Spirit has also used God's providence to speak your heart as well, yes, during this mission. And at other times as well in your life. He has used times maybe, yes, of great blessing. God has blessed you in a mighty way. And my, you've considered Christ. You said, oh, if I get that blessing, I'll get right with God, and you've been blessed, yet you're still in your sin tonight. Maybe through times of sickness or trial or loss or bereavement, times when your plans have been broken and have come to naught. You know that behind all these circumstances, God is at work, and God has been speaking to your heart, speaking to you about your need of Christ, and drawing you to the Lamb of God for salvation. Oh, friend, what are you going to do with these invitations? What are you going to do with the call of the Spirit of God as He speaks at your heart's door? Oh, friend, do not reject the Spirit's speaking voice. For God says, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Now the Bible says, see that you refuse not Him that speaketh from heaven. Don't turn away from the speaking voice of God the Holy Spirit. Because God says, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. But if you reject the Spirit's speaking voice, He may cease to speak to you. He may cease to strive with your heart and soul. He may leave you in your sin and leave you to perish in your sin. And now if the Holy Spirit stops striving, there is no hope for your soul. There is no hope of salvation for you. Turn with me your Bible back to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12. Look with me just at verse 31 and verse 32 of this chapter. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 31 and verse 32. Jesus here is speaking. These are very solemn words. And he says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." See there from those words, it's a very serious thing, a very solemn thing, to turn away from the Spirit's speaking voice that calls you to Christ and calls you to salvation. Oh, it's a serious thing. Why, to turn away from the Holy Ghost as He speaks to your heart and urges you to get right with God. My hymn writer says, "What if he should strive nevermore, but leave thee alone in thy darkness to dwell in sight of the heavenly shore?" Oh, if you reject the voice of the Holy Spirit, you do not come to Christ for salvation. Dear friend, if you die in your sin in that state, rejecting His voice, you can never be saved, never be ready and sure of heaven. Oh, the Spirit says, "Come." But friend, also we must say tonight, you should heed this call to come to Christ for salvation, because the church invites you to come. Look again at our text there in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. It says, "And the bride says, come." Who is the bride? The bride here is the church of Christ. Can I say tonight that the church of Christ is not any particular denomination, so to speak, of a church? But who is the church of Christ? The church of Christ is all God's redeemed people. All His born again people. All who are saved by the grace of God. All who have repented of their sins. All who are trusting, resting in Christ alone for their soul salvation. And by the work of every church assembly, what is it? It is to invite sinners to come to Christ for salvation. And my, this is why this church assembly here in Accolade has held this mission. This is why it has been planned. This is why it has been prayed for. This is why people have worked and have done all they can to come to the meetings and invite and bring others in so that souls might come into contact with the gospel here in the neighborhood. And what a work that is for every church and every assembly to be involved in. Now the Apostle Paul spoke of that mission in his own life. When he wrote to the church at Corinth, he said this, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Paul says we are ambassadors for Christ. What's an ambassador? What's the work that he does? He comes from one country to another country to tell of that people where he lives and neighbors, of the kingdom that he represents. My, he speaks of the interests of that kingdom that he comes from. And my, that's what every church is. That's what the bride of Christ is. We are to be ambassadors for Christ, witnessing for the Lord, telling others of Jesus who is mighty to save. Dear unsaved friend, tonight, every time you've sat in this mission, every time you've sat in other gospel meetings, yes, you've been exhorted to come to Christ and to be saved. But then there's been individual members of the Church of Christ. And they too have witnessed to your soul. They too have spoken to you of your personal need of salvation, of getting right with God, and your need to repent of your sin and trust only in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Maybe it's been a loved one, family member that has been speaking to you about getting saved. Maybe it's been a neighbor, somebody who lives around the road from you and have been witnessing to you, talking to you about the Lord and your need to get saved. Maybe it's somebody in your workplace, somebody that you meet with day by day when you go into your place of employment, might have been speaking to your heart and speaking to your soul, witnessing to you of Christ and of your need to get right with God and prepare for eternity. Maybe this means some evangelist going around the doors, knocking doors, giving out a gospel tract. But my somebody from the bride of Christ, somebody from the church of Christ has come and they have spoken to you. You're not without witness. And they've told you how you need to get saved. I think tonight of the woman of Samaria. What a woman she was. What a witness, what a testimony, what a trophy of grace when God saved her. She went back to her very town and she said, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" She spoke of her Savior to others. The Bible says, then they went out of the city and came unto him. Yes, by her witness. Others came to Christ. Others sought the Lord. Others repented of their sin. Others made their peace with God. Oh man, woman, young person in our meeting tonight, I asked you the question, what have you done with the witness of other believers to you at this particular time? Have you rejected their testimony? Have you said, "I don't want to hear that message"? Have you said no to Christ as family members, as neighbors, as people in your work or others have spoken to you of your need to be saved? My friend tonight, if you're to be wise, I would urge you to heed the testimony of others, of God's people as they've spoken to you. I would urge you to repent of your sin, believe the gospel, and to get right with God. This is an invitation you must heed because the Holy Spirit invites you. It's an invitation you must heed because the bride, the church of Christ, invites you. Thirdly, friend, you should also heed this call to come to Christ for salvation because you need to come. Oh, that you would see your need tonight. Look at verse 17. Notice the words that are used there. It says, "And let him that is athirst come." You think of a thirsty man. Think of that man who is thirsty. Out in the desert conditions, out in the Middle East, under the heat of the sun. He's a man in tremendous need of water. He's a man in tremendous need of a drink. It's crucial. Indeed, it's a matter of life or death. That his thirst is quenched. That he receives something to slake his thirst. And by this thirsty man here, it represents every sinner in need of God's salvation before Almighty God. Lord Jesus Christ speaks of such in the Gospel of John. And he says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Friend, tonight unsaved, you're a thirsty sinner before Almighty God. That's how God shows you. That's how he depicts you. And friend, if all your sins are to be forgiven, you must come to Christ for salvation. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Only Christ can forgive your sins, and we've set that before you in this mission. My, if you're to be saved from hell, you must come to Christ and trust him as your Savior. The Bible says, "He that believeth on the Son have life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." In the year 1862, a man by the name of George Wilson of Pennsylvania was sentenced to be hanged for robbery and murder. Hearing about this particular sentence, President Jackson, he offered the man a pardon. But sadly, Wilson refused the offer of that pardon. He was hanged. He was put to death for his crime. And friend, if you refuse God's pardon for sin through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his blood shed upon the cross of Calvary, you too will perish in a lost sinner's hell. My, for your sin. Friend, if you are to have peace with God, you must embrace Christ as your Savior. The Bible says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're to have power to live the Christian life, you must lay hold upon Christ and trust Him. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And my, if you're to know true satisfaction, true contentment in your heart and life and soul, then you must see Christ. You must call upon Him to be your Savior. You see, the Bible speaks of Christ and it says He satisfieth the longing soul. And He filleth the hungry soul for goodness. You see, the pleasures for sin are only for a season. They're here today. They're gone tomorrow. But my, the hymn writer could say, now none but Christ can satisfy. My friend, if you are to be in God's heaven, you must lay hold upon Christ and trust Christ as your own and personal Savior. You see, Jesus says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, friend, if you turn your back on Him, you can never be in God's heaven. You need to come. You need to heed this invitation. But notice one final thing tonight, just from our text, friend. You must heed this call to come to Christ for salvation, because you have no excuse for not coming. You're without excuse. Look at what our text says there in verse 17. It says, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Notice those words, whosoever will. Just as Craigavon Hospital and Antrim Mary Hospital is open for all the people of the area around those hospitals to come and to be treated, so this call here to come to Christ for salvation is a call that is offered to all. There's not one in this meeting tonight and you can say, preacher, this call is not for me. This call is from God and it's from to every single one of us in this meeting tonight. Notice that word, whosoever. That means all who feel their need as a lost sinner can come to Christ for salvation. No one is excluded here. No one is barred. No one is held back. And you are without excuse tonight. There's no reason for you not to come to Christ. Turn with me in your Bible back to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And look with me at verses 12 and 13. And look at these tremendous words in the gospel. Paul the apostle here is speaking. I want you to see what he says. He says there in verse number 12 of Romans chapter 10. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a promise. What an invitation. What a reach there is here. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever you are in this meeting tonight, you can come to Christ. And you can ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul. That's the great message of the gospel. My, you have no excuse for not coming to Christ, because the way to come is simple. You're to come in simple childlike faith to Christ, confessing your sins to Christ, trusting in His atoning blood and sacrifice alone to save you from your sins. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive the remission of sins. What a promise. Whosoever shall believe in Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the Lord. Whosoever shall trust the Lord as Savior shall know the remission, the forgiveness of all of their sins. Whoever you are in the meeting tonight, whatever your sin is, whatever your sin has been in the past, if you come by faith to Christ, that's the promise of the gospel. God will forgive. God will pardon. God will blot out all your sins. Maybe your past has been haunting you. Maybe it's been holding you back. You say, preacher, you don't know my life. You don't know what I have done or what I have committed. I don't know what, I don't want to know what you've done. But friend, I know this, whoever you are, if you come just as you are to Christ, God will forgive your sins. He'll blot out your transgressions. He will save your soul. But my, you've also no excuse for coming tonight because you have nothing to pay. Look at our text again and notice the mention there of the word freely, right at the very end of the verse. It says there, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. God's salvation tonight is free. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now you do not pay for this salvation by your works, by your church membership, by the rites or by the ceremonies of men. No. God's salvation, you see, has been paid for in full by the shed blood of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. Listen to what the Bible says. It says of Christ, this man offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Maybe you've been trying to clean up your life, and maybe you've been saying, I'll do this and I'll do that. I'll reform my life. I'll make my life a wee bit better, so to speak. And then I will come to Christ, and maybe he'll take me then. Friend, the Bible says you're to come just as you are. My God's salvation is free. The hymn writer says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Praise God, he washed it white as snow. It's free. It's God's free gift. You've heard of that gift night by night in this gospel mission. What are you going to do with the offer of that gift? My, if somebody were to say to you, I'm offering to you a great gift. Maybe of a house or an estate or some particular wealth. No preconditions, just you take it. I'm sure you'd put out your hand and you would take it. But friend, the gifts of this life, as good as they may be, they're temporal. They are only for a while. They're only for a few years of time. But by the wonderful gift of God's salvation is eternal. It lasts not only for time, but it lasts for all of the great ages of eternity. What are you going to do with that gift tonight? Oh, that you would receive it. Oh, that you would come to the Lord Jesus Christ just as you are and call upon him. He will save your soul. He will forgive your sins. He will fit you for heaven. He will bring you into his banqueting house. His banner over you will be love. He will set you on the road to heaven, on the road to glory. While there was an old man, he was saved through the ministry of D.L. Moody. And he said he learned three things, that he could do nothing toward his own salvation. That God did not require him to do anything. And that Jesus had done it all. Friend, such learning is true. You see, in the cross, the work of atonement for sin was complete. Whenever our Lord Jesus Christ cried out, it is finished. Unsaved man, woman, young person, oh, that you would realize that very same truth tonight. There's nothing that you can do yourself to earn salvation. There's nothing that God requires you to do, but that the Lord Jesus Christ has done it all. When he cried out on the cross, it is finished. And when he gave up the ghost, why, the Spirit says, come. The bride says, come. My, the Bible says, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. What are you going to do tonight with this final invitation? It's the final gospel invitation you will ever read of in the Bible. But let me impress upon you tonight, in the course of time, there's a time when we all will hear our final invitation. Friend, what if this should be God's final invitation for you? What if death should come for you tonight or tomorrow and you should be cut off and taken away from the land of the living? How will it be with your soul? How wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Oh, we urge you, we plead with you, Our prayer is, if you know not the Lord as Savior, you'll not despise this invitation tonight. And you will close in with Christ and be saved by God's grace for time and for eternity. Don't go away without the Lord. God has been merciful to you. God has been good to you. Oh, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. We'll just hand back to our brother in closing.